Let's read from Luke chapter 24, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke 4, oh, sorry, 24 and verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Sometimes it takes a wake-up call or an accident or something out of the ordinary that causes us to remember. How many times, I should have counted them, I did not, how many times he already told them, "I've got to suffer. I've got to be rejected. I've got to die, and I will be raised again." However, it's not until we read it in verse 8 that the reality came to them. The light bulb turned on. "Oh, I got it now. That's what he was talking about." I also like the thought, "He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee?" And what did he say? He told them what was going to happen. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" There's two ways to look at things in life. There's God's way, the Bible's way, and there's the world's way. I don't know what your view of the world is, but if you look at the world from God's point of view, the world is dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. We're born into the world walking dead. That's why we have to be born again, of course. A new birth, a spiritual birth. But in an interesting way, where Jesus is talked about, where we're gathered unto him, where we've come to worship him, and in particular, remember that he has risen from the dead, this is a safe place spiritually. It's a good place spiritually. And you can find the Lord here spiritually, because the living are here. Those who have trusted him, those have eternal life, they're here. Great place. Out there? Not out there. You say, no, 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 wait a minute. He's everywhere. I know that. They don't recognize him out there. They don't receive him out there. That's where the dead are, the spiritually dead, dead in trespasses and sins. You won't find him among the dead. You find him here. And so we take the message, do we not? We take the message of the living to the dead. That's what we're doing here. We're worshiping the Lord. We're remembering the Lord. We're charging our batteries. We're encouraging ourselves. And we're going to go back out there among the dead. We will go among the dead. But we have a message of life. Now, if I counted it right, and I stand to be corrected here, some of you Bible scholars, there's probably 13 post-resurrection appearances of the Lord. Some of them are harder to get than others. I'll just rehearse them for you for a minute. And we can't look all the references up, but Mary is probably the first. Probably separated from the other women for a moment. But Mary, out of whom 7 demons were cast. And there were 2 Marys, we know that. There were other women, we know that. They were there at the tomb first. How nice is that? I don't know if that means women are more spiritual than men or not. They seem to be more open somehow. Thank God for our sisters in Christ. Amen. Then Peter is there. It's kind of touchy, but let me remind you that when the angels repeated to the ladies to tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee, only one disciple was mentioned by name. Only one. So tell the disciples, meet me in Galilee. And oh, by the way, tell Peter to come. Peter thinks, I never want to see him again. Tell him to come. What an encouragement. Amen. 2 on the road to Emmaus. Then the apostles together without Thomas. Then the apostles together with Thomas. Then the disciples on the shore of Galilee. The Lord's cooking breakfast for them. How nice is that? Then the apostles on the mountain, the Great Commission, over 500 brethren at once. Then James saw him. Then the apostles ate with him on several occasions, it would appear. Then his ascension in the book of Acts. And then Paul, one born out of due time, probably saw him 3 times. We'll count it as one. But let's turn to John 21 for a moment. John 21. For time, I'm just going to read in verse 14. John 21 and 14. Now, this is the 3rd time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The other 2 times would be first without Thomas and then with Thomas. Now, the 3rd time after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, which Jesus had prepared for them, you remember, they were fishing, and now they come in to have breakfast with the king. Jesus said, verse 15, to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? That's kind of a debate. I'll give you my take on it. Peter says, everybody else forsake you, I won't. We know what happened. We know the Lord predicted it. And I'm just wondering now, if the Lord says, Peter, do you still think you love me more than these other disciples? That's just a thought. Do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved. Hurt. Wounded. Disappointed. Because he said to him the third time, do you love me? I suppose Peter thought to himself at this point, Lord, come on, I'm giving the right answers. And you know I'm giving the right answers. He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. We're not going into the meaning of all these words. Just look at it. It's so obvious here. In every case when the Lord Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And he responded by saying yes, Jesus gave him something to do to prove his love. Love is like faith. It is a word of action. You can't have biblical faith without action. You can say it, for man says he has faith, you can say it, but it's not, that's just the saying faith. That's not real faith. And love is like that. You can say I love you, but love is a word of action. I'll prove it to you. Go to John 14. John Gospel 14. Look at verse number 15. John 14 and 15. Jesus speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments. See that? There's got to be corresponding action. Something needs to happen. Look at verse 21. Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him. How will we know that? And manifest myself to him. God will always, the Lord will always set the example. Look in verse 23. This is just pregnant in this context with this theme. Jesus answered, verse 23, said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him." And notice, we, the Father and the Son, we will come to him and make our home with him. Don't make this hard. God so loved the world that he proved it. He didn't sit in heaven and say, "I love you." He steps out of heaven and proves it. He gave. He demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's go to Revelation 2. Look at verse 4. Writing to the church at Ephesus, the Lord knows everything about them, knows all the stuff they've done. They got patience, they got works, they persevere, they've labored, they've done all this really neat things for the Lord. Verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Left your first love. Some people say, they lost their first love. No, they didn't. They didn't lose it. They left it. Do you know when you leave something, you know it? Did you know that? When I walk out of this building some point during the day, I'm going to know I left that building. I walked out of there. And in this case, what he's doing is he's saying to the church at Ephesus, there was a point, there was a time that something happened, and you left. You walked away from your first love. Now, I know that's true because look at verse 5. "Remember, therefore, when you did that." Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent, notice, and do first works. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, "Love me again." He said, "Let me see the action again." You see, it is our love for the Lord that motivates us to serve him. Why do you serve the Lord? If you're trying to please your wife or your husband or your friends or your children or your parents or your elders, that'll work for a while and then you'll give up. Your service, your life has got to be motivated by something more than an obligation to somebody else or your own reputation. So he says here, I want you to repent, and the way that I know that repentance is real is you're going to go back and do first works. Do you remember first works when you got saved? Do you remember that? I do. I just went, wow. I couldn't believe I really got accepted in the family of God. I couldn't believe that my sins were forgiven. I couldn't believe I had a home in heaven. Jesus said, "You're going to have an abundant life." And I thought, let's get it on. Like, wow, how nice is that of the Lord to do that for me? And why did you have such zeal and excitement and just couldn't wait for the next day? Because you loved him. You appreciated what he had done. You couldn't get enough of it. Is that your story today? If it's not, It won't take you long to retrace your steps. You know when it happened. You trace it back. Oh, yeah. Okay, go back. Pick it up. Confess it. Walk away from it. Start doing first works again. That's what he wants. Because that proves to him that you really do love him. Let's cut it off. Father, we just want to say thank you for working with us, because at best we're unfaithful servants. Thank you that your love never waned and you never left your first love. You taught us how when you loved us first. And only by your example and only by your undying, unwavering love do we even get a glimpse of what we should be or hope to be someday as we love and serve you. In Jesus' name. Now, I'd like to do something a little different. Roy, can we get 134 as a song, please? 134. It's in the Believer's Hymn Book, the little hymn book. 134. Thank you. I know our time's a little rushed this morning, but I think it'd be good for us to sing this. Number 134. Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Verse 2, I love thee because thou hast first loved me. Verse 3, I would love thee in life. I would love thee in death. Verse 4, and when the bright morn of thy glory shall come, and the children ascend to the Father's glad home, I'll shout with thy likeness impressed on my brow. Tis thou that art worthy, Lord Jesus, tis thou, Harold.
Let's stand while we sing this creed again. Lord Jesus, I love thee, I know.
Thank you.
Lord, we're so thankful that you are our Lord. We're thankful that you came. We're thankful that you suffered. We're thankful that you rose again. We're thankful that you're coming back soon. We rejoice, Lord, in all that you've done. And we're so happy to emphasize those words, 'tis thou who art worthy. Lord Jesus, not us, not others. It's only Jesus. He was the one, the only one who was worthy to open the seals. He's the only one who is worthy of our praise today. We want to thank you afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll be with us as we seek to serve you today. We give thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.